Hello, thank you for joining me this week on our podcast, The Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I'm your host, Laura Vogt, the Associate Director of Marketing and Communications in the College of Engineering. And this week we're talking with two students, Andrew and Christopher, both started at Berkeley Engineering as Frosh. And I interviewed each student at separate times, and we're starting today's podcast with Christopher Zavala. Hi, Christopher. Thank you for being a guest on our podcast. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Yeah. So I'm Christopher Zavala. Next year, I'll be a sophomore studying bioengineering here at Berkeley. I'm originally from Bakersfield, California, where I attended Liberty High School. And I guess like two organizations that like I'd like to mention my involvement in is first the Bioengineering Scholars Program, and then I also play oboe for the University Wind Ensemble.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. I'm from Fresno, so I actually know Bakersfield quite well.
Awesome.
So setting your schedule at Berkeley is going to be a pretty different experience than what students had to do in high school. So can you tell me what you found to be the most useful resource when you were planning your first semester?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it was definitely a more independent process, but I think the two biggest resources I stepped out to like ask help from was like the ESS advisor and the ESS peer advisors. First off, like they both like know the classes really well. Like, and if you plan something and you miss, like there's a prerequisite here, or there's another class that's recommended to take before it here, that really point you that you should probably take that class. And they usually fill in the bubbles you can usually miss. So that was really helpful for planning my schedule. And also, especially the peer advisors, like they'll be honest with you because like, they're your fellow students. You should all be looking to those advisors. They're really helpful. They'll tell you, okay, maybe this course load's a bit too heavy for this semester, or maybe there's an instructor you'd prefer better if you're interested in this or that.
And so right now, all the students are going through Golden Bear Advising. Do you remember doing Golden Bear Advising last year?
Yeah, I think I remember it being on B courses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember, like, there's, like, a lot of it. There's, like, a modules on different things. Some of them is, like, on Berkeley's history. And there's one module on, I think, enrollment, which I remember. I don't think it took more than an hour to do, but it was pretty straightforward, and it really showed you the basics of how to use like Cal Central and how to enroll in your classes and plan your schedule out.
Oh, good. And did you ever have to refer back to it throughout the summer, or was it nice that it was it a good resource in and of itself to refer back to?
I think it was a good resource just to see everything flat out like in one spot, and then like a lot of things you'll remember from it, like there's like certain functions like on the Cal Central scheduling planning website, and sometimes you just like want to refer back to like the information. And I didn't usually go back to like the enrollment B course GBA module. I really just looked up onto the ESS website. They usually had the same exact information. You could usually find it a bit faster if you really want to find like a specific detail.
Excellent. And what helped you choose which course or which instructor that you enrolled with?
I think the best resource I used was Berkeley Time. It's this website that lets you like see different courses and see who teaches the class. And sometimes you can see like the breakdowns of those class grades by the instructor and which semesters they were taught. It's like a really good resource if you want to see like if maybe you want to take a professor with this, a class with a certain professor, and see what like semester they offer it in. It was really helpful. And this is like a little less official, I want to say, but if you want to use like the Berkeley Reddit, like there's usually a lot of posts about like people's sharing their experience in certain classes or with certain professors. That's also, I think it would be a pretty useful resource if you're a Reddit user.
So once you did your initial registration, how many times did you feel like you had to go back and update your schedule?
So for my first semester, I had to make a pretty big change. I started off enrolled in Math 53, which is multivariable calculus. So I came into my freshman year with AP credit for Calc BC, which covers Math 1A and one Math 1B here at Berkeley. But after enrolling in Math 53, like I quickly realized that the pace and like the standard of Berkeley math class is a bit faster than I was used to. So about 2 weeks into the semester, I was kind of scared to do this, but I actually had to drop out of 53 and then re-enroll into Calc 2, which is Math 1B here. And it was a bit scary, to be honest, but your ESS advisor, they're really helpful. My advisor really helped me get through every step of the process, made sure I got into Math 1B, and then it helped me prepare better for 53 and 54 the next semester.
I'm really in awe that you knew yourself well enough that once you were in the class, you were like, I need to take a step back. Let's refresh what I did before.
Yeah, it was really scary because again, it was like 2 weeks until the semester started. It's not like it's like beforehand, like where you have still have time to adjust. So it's kind of good to know now that you can even be a little bit into the semester started and you still have enough freedom, not freedom, but more like enough wiggle room if you have to like really analyze the situation and then make a choice for your schedule that is really beneficial.
And you think that was the best thing that you could have done for yourself then?
Yeah, for sure.
That's so cool. I'm so glad that you were able to have that opportunity and get more of what you needed out of your schedule. So did you use the swap or waitlist functions at all?
Not for that semester. I was luckily able, there was open seats in Math 1B, so I was able to just like get into the class really easily. But I actually had to use the waitlist for, well, both the waitlist and the swap functions, both for this upcoming semester and my last semester.
Mm-hmm.
The waitlist, it's kind of scary to be honest, because like you really kind of uncertain if you'll get into your class or not. And I know I had to be on the waitlist for, it was my chemistry lab. And those lab classes, they fill up pretty fast and usually end up on the waitlist. But luckily, I was able to get into that class, so it was nice. It's really easy to set up a waitlist class on Cal Central.
And how did you find the using the swap function?
Oh, so the swap is kind of more of an interesting story. So yeah, this past semester, there was a pretty much a big change in like enrollment in CS classes. And so I had planned my schedule to take a class called CS70 here at Berkeley, but they ran out of like open seats in that class. So I instead decided to enroll in a different class, a stats class. But I learned about the swap function, which lets you, well, I guess its main purpose is to directly swap between two classes. Like if there's open seats in one class, so you enroll into that class, but then you realize you want to swap it with another class that usually is open, it'll do that like instantly. But there's also like a really fancy way. It's called a delayed swap. It's the same like mechanism, but if you're not able to enroll directly into your desired class, it'll put you on the wait list. And then later into the semester, if you do get into your waitlisted class, it'll just swap you directly. So it was a really useful tool.
Oh, that's nice. So it does it for you. You're not having to constantly go in and check and see where you're at and make sure you like get in when there's a moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's really nice in that way.
And so once you were on campus, how did you go about creating study groups or creating a network of support with your peers?
Okay, so for my freshman year, a lot of your peers and a lot of your networks comes from like, I would say your dorm floor building, if you're in the dorms, they come pretty much like your best friends. And then usually, yeah. And then usually there's people, at least one or two people on your floor, for sure in your building that are in similar classes. So it's really nice. Like you get to be in the dorms. And then if you ever need help on want to work on a project or study with someone, there's usually at least one person on your floor who is in the same class and really wants to help you.
Oh, nice. Did you feel like you had to break out of a shell or anything to do that? Or were you pretty comfortable talking to new people anyway?
I think a lot of it comes out to being comfortable to talk to people. I know, but there's, for my floor specifically, and like my RA, she had like this list, like a Google Sheets where we can like input our classes for the semester. So like we could see like who on our floor took what class, or was taking what class, when and where, like what semester. So it was a nice resource to like, even if you didn't necessarily know someone who was in that class, you could always like look into the little Google Sheet and be like, oh, okay, so-and-so is in this class. Maybe I'll go introduce myself and maybe we can study. It was really helpful.
Well, it's kind of nice. A little bit of an icebreaker there for you already.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you go to office hours? Did you have to do anything to prepare if you went?
Oh, yeah. I went to pretty much office hours for all the classes I've taken here at Berkeley at least one time for each class. I feel like it's a good way to either get to know your professor or a lot of times your GSI. They're both like really helpful sources to like help you with your questions and whatever. But if you're going to go to office hours and you have like a question specific to like homework or like a topic, it's usually nice to, you probably should prepare for a little bit, like know like what I'm going to ask. Because usually your GSIs, they won't just give you the answers. You have to like show that you know the steps there. And if you get stuck, you have to like explain to them, oh, I got to this position, and then be like, I don't know how to do at this spot. They want to make sure you at least attempted to understand what you're going to ask.
Well, that's good. I know the real basis of a lot of things at Berkeley is understanding the process.
Yeah.
And so what do you think was one of the best resources for your success that you found on campus?
It was for sure my ESS advisor. If you're a Berkeley engineer, you get assigned an ESS advisor in the Engineering Student Services Center. They're usually matched by like last name and by your major. So they're pretty much like experts in the classes you'll have to take, and they know every policy. And if you have a question, I definitely recommend going to them. Probably not, I would say first, but they're like a pretty good person to ask early on if you can't find an answer to your question, because they can often point you to like someone who does know the answer. They're like a good keystone into whatever question you need to get answered.
Awesome. Excuse me. So, I know we were working with scheduling and figuring out when we could interview you. So you're doing something this summer are you doing an internship or?
Yes, I'm doing on-campus research.
Oh, nice. How did you find that position?
So the program I'm in, the Bioengineering Scholars Program, it's a program designed to help underrepresented minority students like get research and get experience in a lab, specifically in the bioengineering program. So I was able to be matched with Professor Clark's lab, which I'll be starting next week on Monday.
Oh, nice. Did you have to go through any kind of like application process or anything to prepare for it?
Oh yeah. Before, I guess the summer before, I don't know if applications have closed for like this upcoming year, but I'd have to do an application the summer before I came to Berkeley to get in. And then you have to enroll in a seminar class for it for your first semester. So yeah, you do a bit of you work up to you learn like the basics during your seminar, and now we're finally getting into able to use the experience we've learned so far.
Being at Berkeley now, you've fulfilled one whole, or you've done one whole year. What do you have a favorite memory so far?
Yeah, I think my favorite memory so far was the big game day. It's our big rival day against Stanford and our football team. It's a really fun day. It's really festive. There's like the cow band's always playing, and there's always blue and gold everywhere. It's a really festive, fun day to be on. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's nice. So if you could go back and do one thing differently for your first semester, what would that be?
So I think I would try to not be afraid to continue some of the activities I did in high school. So I was like a pretty big band kid back in high school. I played a lot of instruments in a lot of different groups. But coming to Berkeley my first semester, I thought maybe I wouldn't have enough time to join different groups and play in different instruments. So my first semester, I just didn't join any groups. I wouldn't be able to play instruments, and it was kind of frustrating because like that's usually what I used to like enjoy my time. So second semester, I was able to join the wind ensemble, which is really fun. I'm really glad I was able to do it my second semester.
Oh, that's great. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about today that you want to share?
I guess I'll leave one last piece of advice. It's like always ask for help, because even if the person you're asking for help from doesn't like have an answer to the question or can't like solve your problem, they can usually point to you into like the correct direction that helps you solve your problems.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And enjoy your next semester and enjoy your summer of research.
Thank you.
So thank you to Christopher for his insightful thoughts on his first year as a Berkeley engineer. And now we have Andrew G. Andrew, thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. My name is Andrew G, as mentioned. I'm an aerospace engineer and also hoping to double major in electrical engineering and computer science. I went to Dos Pueblos High School in Goleta, California. I'm part of Air Force ROTC. I'm a student researcher at the Space Sciences Lab. I think I'm the vice president of the AIA, which is the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics. And I was part of Caliban at one point.
That is a lot. I can understand why something might have to fall off your schedule.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more here. But let's start off with right now, all of our students are going through Golden Bear advising. So they're picking their schedule. And I know that setting your schedule at Berkeley is significantly different than what most students went through in high school. So what did you find to be the most useful resource when you were planning that first semester?
So of course I'm gonna have to mention my ESS advisor. I'm lucky enough to have Myra. She's a great advisor. I'm assuming all of the advisors are like this. They're really, really quick to respond. They give amazing advice, and they have a good insight on like what's great for an engineering student. They're specific to engineering, of course. But also, I was lucky enough to have a few friends who went to Berkeley before I did. There's this Eeks major who's a year older than me. He was able to like tell me, oh, you want to consider taking this class, you might want to hold off on that class, that kind of stuff. And he also was able to tell me like some of the like Myra as well, some of the basics of course planning, probably want to go for three technicals, not four technicals. Technicals your first semester, or maybe even just do two technicals and a reading class or something like that. And I also use some of the online resources that Berkeley students have actually come up with themselves. Stuff like Berkeley Time, which you can kind of take a look and see how grade distributions work for different classes. So it gives you an understanding of which classes are harder and which classes are maybe a little easier. And also Rate My Professor, of course, it's not the most accurate, but it also gives you like an understanding of what professors you might be working with.
So when you were just talking about the course load, it's got to seem weird where you're coming from high school where you're taking seven or eight classes, and we're now telling you only take three.
Yeah,
Was that,
definitely.
how did you get your mind to understand what the timing was going to be like?
So I was lucky enough to be like, I don't know if I would say lucky enough because I actually really like the six or seven, eight classes, throughout a whole year kind of situation. But I went to a high school that had a block schedule because of COVID. So we ended up actually only having three or four classes per semester. But I remember that transition. That first year, when I went from six to seven classes a year to like three or four one semester and three or four the other semester, it was pretty jarring because I felt like I was spending way too much time on this amount of material and at the same time, not enough time on the same amount of material. But eventually, once you start like delving into it and realizing how much there is to learn and figuring out how to best use your time, it actually makes a lot more sense.
Well, that's great. So it's nice that you had a little bit of a transition ahead of time of coming into Berkeley. So how much time did you spend on your Golden Bear advising, and did you ever refer back to it throughout the summer?
I think I spent that like I remember when it came out, I spent like basically the whole week looking through it, and I even like scheduled a meeting with Myra during the summer because I wanted to get on top of this as quickly as possible. I could just get it figured out, be happy with my schedule, move on to bigger, better things. And I remember coming back to it a few times when I was reconsidering some of my classes. I actually wanted to switch lab sections for one of the classes I was taking. I used it as, along with someone that I knew, talked to them about the swap feature, and I made that happen.
And did you think, so you changed your schedule the one time. Did you think that you were going to change it a lot, or were you pretty happy with what you ended up with when you first registered?
Well, I think I was mo more or less like set on the schedule that I had because of I referenced like my major at the time was just aerospace engineering, so they have a whole website with like a flow chart of these are the classes you'll probably take freshman year, sophomore year, so on and so forth. And I saw that the freshman year classes were pretty cut and dry. You wanted to get this stuff done, so I was like, okay, I'll just take these classes. And yeah, I just said I was going to take these classes. I was lucky enough to actually get a earlier enrollment period, so I didn't have to worry too much about getting like a serious backup set of classes. I was pretty sure I was going to get these classes. So I really didn't make that many changes.
And did you, or since then, have you ended up using either the waitlist or the swap function a lot?
I've used the, let's see. Yeah, actually I've used both quite a bit. Especially for this coming semester, planning for it during the spring semester, I actually had a pretty early enrollment date. But like I was also too focused on trying to get through current semester at the time. There was a lot going on. I was trying to take four technicals. It ended up okay, but I was too focused on that rather than my classes. I had a general idea of what I wanted to take, but I didn't really plan it out with my friends. I know like a big part of planning your courses is actually trying to get in the same class as your friends because it makes it easier. So I ended up having to swap sections a lot, and sometimes I would be unfortunate enough to have to swap into a waitlist section. So I would just sit in there and fingers crossed, hopefully get in. Usually I did because it's pretty relatively early on in the enrollment process.
Do you have any tips for anyone that are trying to do a swap or to swap a class out?
I think the swap function, like you'll have to go through it a few times. You'll have to like read through the documentation if that makes any sense and like go into the program itself and see how it works. But most, if I recall correctly, how it works is basically you say that okay, I want this certain class in lieu of this other class that I'm already taking, and then You basically say, I want to swap these. If one of the classes you're trying to swap into, you can only sit on the wait list, it won't actually swap those classes. So you'll technically still be enrolled in that class. You don't need to worry about, you know, losing 4 credits or something like that. And then once that wait list hopefully opens, you switch in. And waiting on wait lists, that's a whole nother thing. Really depends on your position. If you're earlier, like if you're like maybe wait list position like 4 or 5 or like top 10 in like a 100-person class, there's a really good chance that, you know, some people will drop, some people switch their schedules, and you'll get yourself in there. But if you're pretty late, you probably want to plan on having like an actual backup.
Okay. And once you were on campus, you'd already talked about you want to try to get classes so that you're taking them with your friends. So how did you go about creating study groups or creating that friend group so that you could have that network?
So I think this is going to be like a pretty consistent theme for like all my answers, but you had to put yourself out there. It's kind of like important. I think a lot of people say this, but at least I didn't take this to heart at first. Everyone is new to this experience being here. So everyone's looking for new people. If you just put yourself out there, you'll find a hand reaching back, you know? And that kind of goes for everything, whether that's trying to get like meet people in classes or try out for clubs or any of those kind of activities, maybe do research, something like that. You just really have to put yourself out there.
And how did you investigate the organizations that you got involved with?
Going through that process is mostly just like, you know, checking out their website, seeing like their social media. PR really matters. You can kind of get like an understanding of what they do, the kind of people that like they look for and kind of stuff that they want to happen. Show up to like their info sessions, maybe try out the activity for a few weeks, see if you're actually really interested in that kind of stuff. Also talk to people. You know, talk to friends who might know other people in the clubs, or actually talk to people in the clubs, see what their take on it is. And that can really just, you know, narrow some stuff down. And it doesn't hurt to, you know, maybe have a few friends in some of those clubs that you can do those clubs with.
Nice. Going back to academics for a little bit, did you go to any of the office hours for your classes?
Unfortunately, my schedule got really hectic, so I did not. Except for this one time I did. That one time was actually really enlightening because the professor was able to like go over everything in detail with everybody present. And it was a different kind of experience from lecture. Lecture seems more like you show up, you sit down, you listen. Whereas like for office hours, you can actually show up, you can ask questions, you can be more engaged in the topics at hand.
Did you feel like you were intimidated before you went, or were you happy that you had the opportunity to go in?
In some ways, yes. I definitely felt a little intimidated because, you know, this person's a subject matter expert in their field. They're on like the cutting edge of their research. Even for like the most like intro of classes, these professors are doing some of the craziest research. That's obviously going to be super intimidating, but after showing up, they're human too. They're nice people. It was fine.
Oh, good. And what did you find to be one of the best resources for your success on campus?
I'd really say it was the kind of peer community. Being able to speak with other students, you know, develop those connections to help either with classes or extracurriculars really mattered. Actually, I'd also want to like shout out TAs and GSIs. I'm not going to lie, some of them teach the material better than the professors. I'm just going to be completely honest there. That's mostly because a lot of them spent years teaching the same material over and over again, whereas professors have to juggle research on top of their teaching duties.
No, that totally makes sense. So a lot of students, as they come in, have to learn resilience because you're going to end up getting not quite the grade that you wanted on the class. Maybe you were this 5.27 whatever GPA or something when you came in, and it's going to be a lot different when you get there. So did you ever have a moment where you had that bad grade on a test or a project? And if you did, how did you come back from that?
I'm going to say I had that moment like multiple times my first semester. I think coming into it, a lot of the students like me, especially myself, are really, really fixated on doing well in their classes because, you know, that's the kind of academic focus that Berkeley usually pulls from. And so I would take every small mistake a little too harshly. I remember I got really, really like, for instance, this is kind of a random anecdote, but I took the 61A midterm two in fall, and I remember I for some reason did not see like a whole page of questions at the end of the test until like the last 10 minutes. I spent all that time reviewing the first like five pages three times. And I remember coming out of that feeling completely destroyed, completely disappointed in myself. I've been taking tests for 12 years now, and I somehow still like made that kind of mistake. But I was lucky enough to have friends around me who would listen to me rant for, you know, a couple hours and comfort me. And eventually, sleeping on it next day was more or less all right. So you just have to be able to like roll with the punches. That's what really matters. You have to remember that, you know, most people coming out of, I know high school GPAs are a little bit more inflated these days, so it's a little easier to get a higher GPA. But coming out of, especially Berkeley, your GPA is not going to be like that 3.8, 3.9, 4.0. It's probably going to be a little bit lower, and that's fine. That's the average for everyone.
And are you doing any of the, do you have an internship or anything this summer?
Yes, I am working at the Space Sciences Laboratory right now as a student researcher. I started through URAP actually in the fall semester. I did URAP for two semesters, and I was lucky enough for them to be like, hey, you want to work here over the summer? And
what is URAP?
Undergraduate Research Apprenticeship Program, if I remember the acronym correctly. But it's the, I think it's the like the most common, like it's the university sanctioned research opportunity portal, if that makes any sense. There's opportunities for everything from the humanities to stuff like space sciences. And it's pretty, I'm not going to say it's like, it's difficult in some ways, but it's also, it's kind of like college applications. It's going to be, you're going to have to like be a little lucky to get in. I of course got really lucky because I'm a freshman and somehow that happened, but you know, we're happy to be here. Sorry, that was really a real
no,
tangent.
That's good.
Just,
how did you find out
URAP
about
is just,
how did you find about URAP?
URAP was I found out about it because I think I was just on the internet. I was looking for research, and you know, when you look up Berkeley research for undergraduates, first thing that pops up. And I remember looking through all the different opportunities. As an aerospace engineer, I want to do aerospace engineering things, right? And then one of them said Space Sciences Laboratory, and I was like, oh, that sounds so great. So I ended up choosing that, trying to apply to that. I applied to two or three programs, was lucky enough to get into one. And yeah, I'm here now.
Well, that's great. That is something that you did during the school year, and then you get to expand your hours probably over the summer then.
Yeah. I get to spend more time on learning through doing, basically.
Are you still, did you stay in Berkeley for the position, or are you, is it remote?
Yes, I'm here in Berkeley right now, living on my own, like 100% on my own, you know, no dorms or anything, learning to cook, all that fun stuff.
I think that's a big change then too.
Yeah, definitely. My parents came up, I think like the weekend after the school ended, and they gave me like a crash course on like, you know, cooking basics, made sure I could survive the next 6 weeks I would be up here.
Isn't the joke is like live off of macaroni and cheese if you have to?
I don't think that was an option. I think my mom just gave me a bag of rice and was like, you know, as long as you can do that, you're probably fine.
Well, we always joke that my 4-year-old nephew, if we could cut him open, he'd be all macaroni and cheese because that's like the only thing I'm going to eat. So
macaroni and cheese is pretty great.
So looking back at your time here at Berkeley, do you have a favorite memory so far?
I'm going to be, this is going to sound pretty like, pretty dull and like really, you know, but I actually really enjoyed studying with some of the friends I was able to meet here. I remember especially like this past semester, my schedule got really, really hectic, especially with one of the new classes I was taking, Aerospace Engineering 10. And I met some great people there. And we spent a lot of time working on like the lab projects together, studying for the final, all of that kind of stuff. And it was like, it was very fun. It was a lot of time because the class was rough, but it's fun.
That's good. I'm glad that you were able to find like a joy in the studying part of it.
Yeah.
So if you could go back and do one thing differently your first semester, what would you change?
I would definitely say maybe like reach out a little bit more. Like I said, that really didn't occur to me until like the tail end of my first semester. I really tried it out a little bit more my second semester. But I'm gonna be honest, I kind of just locked myself in my dorm room and was trying to do my best in class, which was, you know, a habit that I had from high school, but I should be trying to break, you know?
That's good. It sounds like you definitely did it at some point if you've got friends and things and a network that you can go to now.
Yeah, definitely.
So is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to share?
I think it's like one final thing would be like, remember to have fun. You're spending from like maybe $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year up to like $70,000, $80,000 a year, depending on where you come from in the US, in the world, to come to this university. So in addition to getting your education, it might be worthwhile to make the most of that, you know, copious amounts of cash.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you to Christopher and Andrew for being on the podcast. And thank you to everyone for tuning in to the Not So Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. We'll be back next week with more tips from students on your first year and first steps as you become a Berkeley Engineer.